So, now, as I mentioned to you, I have a concern. In fact, as you, most of you know, I write a blog that's read throughout the country now. Over the years, I've been writing for like 10 years, and over the years, there's been a bit of a readership that's developed. And so I try to take some of the experience we have here and apply it. And one of the things, the articles I wrote last 2 weeks ago, maybe, was on my concern that training for testimony is missing in many parishes. Training for testimony is missing in many parishes. So you see, I'll just read you the opening line, because remember, I'm writing to Catholics throughout the country, really throughout the world. Right now, the blog gets about 15,000 hits a day. So a lot of people, I don't know if they all read the article. They say, oh, that's a boring topic. I'm not going to read that one. Or they may, but all I know is I get 15,000 hits a day on the blog. And so to those who did read, they heard these opening lines. Catholicism has a glorious liturgical and intellectual tradition. But because we have not excelled in training Catholics to give joyful witness to the wonder of the Lord and of our faith, they are among the best-kept secrets around, our tradition, our teachings, our faith. And in certain denominations, though, giving witness is a major focus, and congregants are well-trained for it through personal testimony. Witness talks, for example, are very common among Protestant, you know, liturgies, right? And then also in the musical tradition, which we'll talk about today, right? That so pastoring in an African American parishes for most of my priesthood has introduced me to this training ground. The black experience is more relaxed with testimony and witness. Now, I don't mean you're all type A and you're running around grabbing every stranger on the street, but the overall experience is a much more relaxed one. So, for example, I go over here to the Safeway, and especially some years ago before the neighborhood kind of started to switch around a little, but I'd just walk in there and, you know, I'd have a dozen people say, hey, pastor, he says, you got a word for me today? You know, or there'd be some kind of interaction where I was being, you know, they indicated they had faith and they wanted a word from me. And this is almost unheard of in a typically suburban, you know, more white and, pardon the expression, but uptight kind of situation. But again, there is this idea that I might occasionally go over to the Safeway and buy a little bottle of wine or something and say, "Ooh, Pastor, are you allowed to drink that?" As I drink my Diet Pepsi right now. But I said, "The Lord made wine in abundance and the best wine." But again, it's that relaxed quality. But this is very uncommon. Most people feel very ill-equipped to testify to the Lord in a very, not just secular, but even cynically secular age, right? You don't believe all that stuff, do you? Are you crazy? You know, have you surrendered your intellect? You know, there's a lot of, people feel very under siege in a very, very hostile kind of cynical, conflictual kind of a culture that they can't talk about their faith. And that's not just true when you go to the Safeway, but even in your own family, see? And so the question is, is there some way that we can work with that? And yes, there is. There is. And I think one of the ways that we have to learn is that there's a beautiful tradition in many of the hymns and songs that we sing, mostly, as I would say, from the African-American tradition. There's very few hymns from the wider hymnody tradition that I'll be sampling tonight, because it's just not there. There's just not a real sense among... when I say Protestant here, I don't just mean the evangelicals. They're pretty good about the witness part. And a lot of the modern contemporary evangelical music does talk a lot about witness. But I'm talking about the older, pardon the expression, but stuffy Protestant hymns, which are beautiful, magnificent works of art, poetry. I love them. But they're not particularly rich in equipping the faithful for giving witness or giving testimony. Whereas I think the songs tonight that we're going to look at are very, very helpful in this regard. All right? Now, in order to give witness, you need to have two things up and running. First of all, you need to be a witness. And secondly, you need to be able to give witness. Now, what does it mean to be a witness? Now, you've heard me preach on these things before on a typical Sunday, but to be a witness means to testify to what you yourself have heard, seen, and experienced. So go with me to the courtroom. Let's find out what a witness is not. So you're in the witness stand, and you're sworn in, and the attorney comes and says, "Did you see so-and-so do such-and-so to so-and-so?" And you go, "I think so." Now, that's not a good witness. Pretty vague, huh? All right. Or, did you see so-and-so do such-and-so to so-and-so? Well, that guy over there told me, I don't want to hear what he said. I want to know what you saw. Okay, so here's the witness. Did you see so-and-so do such-and-so to so-and-so? Yes, and I'll swear to it. Okay, that's a witness. A witness talks about what they themselves have experienced and are experiencing. See? So, obviously, if you're going to go out and witness to the Lord, I hope you met him. I hope you've heard from him. I hope you know what he's doing in your life. I hope that you, as you've heard me say before, that in the laboratory of your own life, you have tested God's word and found it to be true. That he really is good to you. Even when you didn't think he was being good to you, now you know he's been good to you. Sometimes we have to understand something through the rearview mirror. Ah, now I see what God was doing. He only permitted it for a better thing to happen. Ah, now I get it. But you have a testimony that your life is like a laboratory. And God's word is being tested there. And you say, oh, my gosh, it's actually true. All these old souls. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. I'm seeing changes in my life. I'm seeing I've seen certain sinful attitudes being put down. I'm coming to greater understanding and love of people or cultures or races that I didn't think I could. Or I'm seeing that certain sinful drives or attitudes, there's people in my family I didn't think I could forgive, but I've come to some understanding and I have more mercy for them. And I may not be able to have long conversations with them, but I'm getting there. And I see what the Lord's doing and that he's true, that his word, if I really take him seriously and I start to ask for my life to be less anxious and more confident, or less lustful and more chaste, or if I start to ask for freedom over any number of sinful drives, I start to say, it's starting to work. I may not be at the finish line, but I've come a mighty long way. Come a mighty long way. And then you, reflecting on this, you start to get joyful. Wow, and then you want to tell somebody, see? You see, because it's one thing, you could go out and say, the Lord could change your life, and, he saved you, he died to save you, and he can set you free and all that, and they say, that's great news. How do I know it's true? And you have to be able to say at some point, look at me. See, I was at A, and now I'm at B, and I'm moving towards C. You see the idea? So the two parts is that we have to, first of all, be a witness or become a witness, and then secondly, we have to actually witness or testify to people. All right, so let's look at both of those aspects in some songs that we'll listen to tonight. Take your music sheet, and again, I don't have time to sample the whole tradition. We went a little late last week, and some of you wanted to kill me. You did not succeed, so I'm here today. Thank you. But I want to start with an old spiritual. And as I say, like I tried to do last week, let's start with the most ancient parts of the tradition and then see how some of the spirituals began to build into other music that we often sing today. So this first one is called Great Change. Now, the question for you and me is has there been a great change? Now, this idea, great change since I've been born, there's been a great change since I've been born. Is that true in your life, and how? Now, this song will try to get you to look at certain things in your life. But at the end of the day, it's an old spiritual, when I say an old spiritual, it may not go all the way back to slave times, but it certainly came up in Jim Crow. This is probably the earliest attestations of this song are from about 1900. It may be earlier than that, but as far as it reaching, if you will, written and recorded history in terms of when people said, that's a song that we sing, about 1900 you start to see it appearing in some of the collections of hymns, or if you will, spirituals. Now, with that in mind, it comes out of the years of oppression. But there's this idea that, there's been a great change since I've been born. But that doesn't mean your physical birth. I mean, most of us, I tell you, there has definitely been a great change since I was born. I mean, physically that's going to happen anyway, right? But that's not what the song is talking about. It's since I've been reborn, since I've been born into Christ, since I met the Lord, see? So let's listen to this song, Great Change Since I've Been Born.
Great change since I've been born. I've been born. more. Places I used to go, I don't go no more. There's been a great change since I've been born. Things I used to do, I don't do no more. Things I used to do, I don't do no more. Things I used to do, I don't do no more. There's been a great change since I've been born. Company I used to keep, I don't keep no more. Company I used to keep, I don't keep no more. Company I used to keep, I don't keep no more. There's been a great change since I've been born.
Okay, you get the idea. It goes on, but listen, there's several things that this song does. First of all, it's fun to sing. You can, again, think of them out in the fields or think of different, you know, different works and their hard work, but they're singing to pass the time. But there's also this great model. It's asking you a question. Has there been a great change since you've been born? How so? And then it gives you some areas to look at in your life. It teaches you, you know, are there some places you used to go that you don't go no more? Are there some things you used to do? Well, what are they? You have to answer out loud. No. But I'm just saying, is there some company you used to keep? Now, not that you're a snob, but you just know that just some company is not good to keep, all right? You just need to kind of keep a distance and say, I love you from a distance, all right? But again, this is a little template for you. Fill in the details. But that helps you to get your witness talk together. What are some of the things you used to do that you don't do no more, to use the non-King's English? What are some of the places you used to go and the company you used to keep? You know, start thinking and praying. You know, I'm going to just tell you, and I'm going to make bold here and say that if you've been faithful, as I know many of you have been for many years, in coming to church and listening to God's word and coming to crazy Bible studies like this and hearing a wild, crazy priest, if you've been faithful to prayer, holy fellowship, sacraments, the Word of God, there's been change in your life. Now, the Holy Spirit wants to anoint you to know what that is, see? But the problem is the devil also wants to come and take away your memory. Or we tend to minimize. There's something the way that we are wired, if you're not careful. And I think it's actually a physiological thing, but we're wired for the negative, and we're not wired for the positive. If it bleeds, it leads. You turn on the news, right? If it bleeds, it leads. But that, we also have that in our own individual lives. We so easily remember the hardships and the pains and the difficulties, and we kind of quickly discount the blessings, and we're not as aware. You've heard me before. Every day, 10 trillion things go right, and a few things go wrong, right? And what do we focus on if we're not careful, right? And again, I think there is actually a physiological reason. I mean, if you think back to our ancestors, say, 10,000 years ago in the hunter-gatherer stages when we didn't really live in cities. We lived in sort of tribes and wandering Bedouin tribes. And who lived? Who survived? You know, the ones who sat there looking at the cloud and saying, gosh, it's beautiful. Or the one who saw the leopard coming, you know, and got out of the way, you know, right? So there's a certain, I think, wariness that we have to life. But, you know, honestly, we have to, by our faith, though, spend some time saying, you know, God's been awfully good to me. And I really have seen changes in my life. And I'm certainly not finished. And there certainly are sins and struggles. But at the end of the day, God's brought me a mighty long way. See? And he's been good to me. And despite my sins, he's been good to me. So what's your testimony? See, that's this type of a song is helping you to kind of, there's a template for you. So when somebody says, you know, what's that, you're going to all that church for? Come on, that's just crazy. You know, he's spending, or you might have a spouse or someone who's supposed to be an heir to your mighty fortune, and they say, why are you giving all that money to the church? You know, what are you paying that tithe for? We could use that money for other stuff. And you say, and you just say, listen, you don't understand. Great change since I've been born. Oh, there's been a great change. I cannot tell at all what the Lord has done for me when I go to church and I pray and I'm in holy company and we sing and we praise his name and he feeds me with his body and blood and he teaches me with his word. I'll tell you why I pay tithes, because I love the Lord. He's been good to me. Great change since I've been born. Now, see what you're doing, rather than getting into an argument about money, you're testifying. See? And this song teaches you. We just looked at one song so far, but you see the idea. The idea is collect your memories, collect your testimony, know what the Lord's done for you. And when someone either challenges you or just asks you, or you're trying to initiate a conversation, say, you know, great change since I've been born. God's been awfully good to me. And I've told you before, don't miss the evangelical moment that occurs at least a dozen times a day, more like 50 times a day, which is, how you doing? Oh, I'm fine. Liar. No. But answer it more evangelically. I'm pretty well blessed for a sinner, or blessed and handing them back to you, or, you know, more blessed than I deserve. And all of a sudden, you're taking what's just kind of a throwaway moment, and you turned it into a moment for the gospel, where the Lord is brought to light, and somebody is made to think about the Lord. And they may ask you, say, wow. And you've signaled them, you're open to talking about the Lord. And suddenly the conversation gets richer and deeper and more meaningful. You see the idea? So, all right. Now, let's take another. We're going to move from the spirituals, the tradition of the spirituals in that pentatonic scale, and we're going to just sort of up it a little bit. We're now down in Louisiana in Cajun territory, probably just coming out, you know, out of the antebellum period and just past the Civil War and into around 1900 once again. And there's a little bit of, you know how the music is in New Orleans, right? You know how the music is there. It's very upbeat and it's, you know, but this is a song, again, of testimony that, you know, I've laid a burden down and the Lord's been good to me. And this song, again, helps you to get in touch with, you plug in the details, but it's speaking in a general way of what does it mean to be delivered from the Lord? Well, part of what it means is I laid my burdens down. So many of the burdens I used to have, I don't carry them anymore. I laid them down, and the Lord took them up. And yeah, I know you still got some, but the point is, you see? And so let's see what this song teaches us about laying our burdens down. Is it there in the list? Glory. Yeah.
Glory, glory, hallelujah, Lord, since I laid my burden.
Some of the verses there, some of which they sang, some of the ones they didn't sing, but you know, there's always, you can plug in any number of verses to these wonderful songs. And but you see this, every day will be like Sunday. Amen. Now you think about that, back before our culture has lost Sunday as a day of real rest and family, what a cherished day that was for people who often work 6 days a week in really hard, laborious work, you know. And what a beautiful day Sunday was. Every day will be Sunday. There was a woman some years ago that was at St. Thomas More, and you know, she lived just up the street, so I would go see her. And every day I'd go out for my walk, and she'd say, I would always see her on Fridays, but every time she saw me, she said, "Must be Sunday, Father." I said, no, Miss Elsie, it's Friday. And she said, no, Father, it's Sunday because the Lord's here, you know. And anyway, so when I buried her, you know, she did die, and when I buried her, I said, well, Miss Elsie, now it's really Sunday. You know, Sunday. Beautiful insight. But look at this first verse here that's listed here. I feel better, so much better, since I laid my burden down. And look at this next line. It's fascinating. Friends don't treat me like they used to since I laid my burden down. You know, sometimes the negativity you get from people is stuff that you've been putting out at them first, and they're just echoing it back. There's an old saying in 12-step programs that if I get better, other people get better too. You know, in the book of Ecclesiastes, it says, cast your bread in the water. It'll come back to you after many days. In other words, if you're casting negativity and anger, you know, and controversy, don't be surprised if it comes floating back at you. You know, have you ever been to a pond, you throw a leaf out onto the pond and the rings bring the leaf back to you? And it's the same idea with, so the idea is that when I lay my burden down and I get better and I start to get more joyful and more confident and more serene, other people start to treat me differently. And even if they don't get better, somehow I'm in a better space and I don't take their negativity. It's just my experience of other people is changed, you see? It goes on to say, we heard that one, I'm going home to be with Jesus since I laid my burden down. Now, here's another one. I won't treat you like I used to since I laid my burden down. You see, when I stop being so angry and burdened and negative and weighed down and grouchy and stuff, I'm going to be more loving. I'm going to be more cheerful. I'm going to be more open to listening and when I see you coming. You see the idea? Or again, burdens down, Lord, burdens down, since I laid my burdens down. So again, how is this operative in your life? Have you seen the Lord go to work here, see, right? And what would be your testimony, you know? And if somebody were to say to you, you know, again, why do you go to that church? Or what's this all about, you know? You say, glory, glory, since I laid my burden down. They're like, that's coming out of your mouth? Yeah. Glory, since I laid my burden down. You know, and again, I'm not what I want to be. You can always have that disclaimer. I'm not what I want to be, but I am not what I used to be. God's been good to me. See? And say, Now, again, you have to, in order to be authentic with that, you have to do that homework. You need to say, well, how has the Lord been good to me? See? Because even if they don't ask you for the details, you're going to need to know a few of them to really be a good witness and be convicted in what you're saying, amen? Because you know sometimes when you're just quoting slogans, right? You go to somebody and you don't really know what to say, so say, I'll pray for you, you know? But you know it's more of a slogan and you'll probably forget to pray. Or, you know, you don't really feel like, you know, you have anything, you know, really going on that you can really talk about. So you say, oh, glory be, you know, but you know, that's just a slogan. What you want to do is let the Lord use these songs, first of all, to say, what is it that I can witness to in my life? See? Now, again, I won't bore you tonight with it, but you've heard my story. And one of my biggest demons was coming out of very severe and crippling anxiety. I was actually on NPR radio today talking about Buzz Lightyear and Toy Story. They're doing a series on movies and how movies have affected you. And I was held up at gunpoint right over here outside the building and right by the convent the very night Sister Charlotte and I went to see Toy Story. And the reason we went to see Toy Story was that I had had a nervous breakdown. I'd been in the hospital for a week and I'd taken a month off. And coming back, they said, now you need to get together with friends and don't just sit in your room. It's not going to be good for you. Get out. And so I told Sister Sasha, she says, call me. We will go to the movies. I said, what kind of a movie can I take a religious sister to, you know? Well, I said, Toy Story. She says, Toy Story, yeah. Says, it sounds clean. Sounds like there won't be a lot of bad language in it. So anyway, I picked up Sister Charlotte. I came by the rectory here for the 6. We were going to see the 6:30 show, so I came by around 6 up at the, you know, and I met her in front. And this guy comes and puts a gun in my face, and he's holding me up, you know. And Sister Charlotte, I mean, I was kind of confused. The guy was talking fast. I thought he was asking directions or something. And she goes, you are being held up. And the guy shoved the gun right in my face, right up here, and then hit me upside the head with it, you know. And I said, oh, now I understand. Anyway, long story, but so there we went. I was already in bad shape, so I said, well, it can't get any worse, so I'm, you know. So let's make the 8:30 show. So we did the police reports, and we went and saw the 8:30 show. Anyway, Buzz Lightyear, man, that was me before my nervous breakdown, you know, to infinity and beyond. Remember Buzz Lightyear? He actually believed his own bluster, you know? the mothership must be just out of it. Anyway, somewhere in the middle of it, he discovers he's just a toy. All that stuff is just a bunch of bluster. And there's this plaintive song, "Clearly I Will Go Sailing No More." And said, "Oh, that's me. You know, I feel deflated. I failed in, you know, and I've been, you know, anyway, I felt like a total failure." And at the end of the day, Buzz does save the day, but by just being what he is, a toy. And one of these kids sort of does terrible violence to him and puts a big missile on him, wants to blow him up, and eventually they get away, but he's got this terrible missile sitting on his back, if you remember the story. And it's that very act of violence against him and that treating him without any dignity that actually saves the day. That rocket actually saves the day. He's actually literally able to fly, and he does go sailing, and he saves the day. But anyway, long story. I know I don't want to bore you with it, but the idea of knowing your testimony and being able to see it, even in a movie, or to be able to say, you know, that's my life. And I spend a lot of time working with men who are going through similar crises in their life. Most men have a midlife crisis, but it's usually not midlife. It's more like in their 30s or early 40s, you know. And I'm often able to talk with them about that. I went through my own, and oh, Buzz Lightyear. I said, watch the movie and let's talk about it. Buzz Lightyear? Just watch it. And it's very healing. But knowing your story isn't just about quoting Bible verses, but it's knowing, I know, God's brought me a long way. You know, and I did go sailing once more. And I thought I could never be a pastor after that crisis. But I've been a pastor now for 14 years, you know. No, more than 14, you know, since 2017, almost 18 years. I'm not a perfect pastor. Somebody say amen. But I'll tell you, so you see what I'm trying to show you is that, you know, what's your story? You see, what's your story? What's God done for you? And that's what these songs are trying to get us to think a little bit about it. Kind of give us at least a template. You fill in the details. What burdens have you laid down? Fear, anxiety, maybe it was alcohol, maybe. What were the burdens, you know? Greed or financial difficulties, you know? Overspending. What have you laid down that the Lord's given you greater freedom for? Okay. Well, now, the next song we all know very well. We won't even need to listen to it. But I think the one song that almost every, even white congregation, knows is a very beautiful song of testimony and blessing, you know, is Amazing Grace. And we all know the story that it was written by a man who had a great testimony. He'd been a slaver. You know, he drove slave ships. And, you know, how could God ever want to save a wretch like me? And yet he did. See, and he wrote this beautiful hymn. And John Newton, as you know. And so, again, it's his story of how good God has been to him despite his sinfulness, think of all the horrific injustices. Think how many people died on his ships. Think of all of the awful ugliness of that middle passage. And somewhere in all the midst of that, God still loved him. See? And, you know, but because we know it, instead of singing it, let's just sort of recite it as a poem. And you can just listen and I'll read it. But there's a couple of verses you might not be as familiar with, but they're there too. I gave the entire original version here. But Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Can you testify like this to people you know and love? See? The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. And this is a couple of verses here that most people don't know. Yes, when this flesh and heart shall fail and mortal life shall cease, I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace. Yes, there's a hope even for me, see? The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine. And then when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we'd first begun. Now again, what I'm asking you to think about tonight is the model of testimony that is. That's his testimony. But isn't it yours too? I mean, how has, first of all, Just somebody say, grace is amazing. In other words, his grace goes totally beyond my ability to describe or declare or to tell you about. His grace is just amazing. You can't put it into words. I cannot tell. We had that song 2 weeks ago. He's been good to me. I cannot tell it all. Amazing grace. Amazing, undescribable. I can't reduce it to words or simply say, well, here's what it is. See? Amazing grace. Oh, how sweet the sound. It saved a wretch like me. How were you a wretch? How are you a wretch? You know, we're hard to love. Oh, not me. Maybe John Newton was. I got news for you. You're hard to love. Okay? No, again. You see the vision here. I mean, God doesn't just love you. He even likes you. Did you hear me? God doesn't love you. He does, but God doesn't just love you. He even likes you. I once was lost, and now I'm found. I was blind. How were you blind? How have you been blind? But now you see. See? Were there people whose dignity you didn't see? Were the people you looked down on only to discover that one day you needed them? See? You know, have you despised races, or have you despised people's cultures? Have you despised, have you ever done that? You see, and now you see a richness and a beauty? I have. See? Have you perhaps struggled to understand things, and now you understand, like suffering or sickness or illness? Our world doesn't understand suffering today, does it? See? But do you? Have you come to understand its role, you see? So again, all of these are ways I could go on and on with every verse, you see, but grace taught my heart to fear. And now, fear doesn't mean cringe. It means to have a deep reverence for the fact that God is awesome, and I love him. He's been good to me. Holy fear is not so much a cringing fear as it's a fear of offending someone who's been so good to me. So very, very good to me, see? And again, so take a song like this, and don't just sing it in church and in one ear and out the other. And as you've heard me say before, as much as I love to sing and as much as I played organs and directed choirs for years, the danger of singing is that you're so busy making the melody that you're not really paying attention to the words. And the key point, really, y'all, is the words. See? All right, now, so I'll leave you to look at that song, but how do you get your testimony together? How do you witness to other people? Well, study what John Newton wrote, or study what whoever the authors of The Spiritual Great Change, study these texts, or study whoever again the author was of Glory Hallelujah, Since I Laid My Burden Down. Study texts like these and take them up and make them part of your vocabulary. And if somebody's just, you know, either challenges you or asks you or wonders, you could just say, glory, glory, since I laid my burden down. Tell me more. You know, what do you mean you laid your burden down? What burden? Now, again, you need to have done your prayer and your work. All right. Now, you've heard me quote this song many a time, right? And I don't think I have it there in the playlist, do I, Gershon? I don't. Love lifted me. But you all pretty much know the melody. But I was sinking deep in sin and far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within and sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Now where are you in that story? Where were you drowning one day? And it might not have been that you were the worst sinner on the face of the earth. Man, I was five times a prostitute and seven times a drug user or something. You know, it could be lesser things, you see, the more hidden sins, the struggles, the pride, the vainglory, the maybe the way you treated certain people. You know, one of the burdens I carried in my life for many years is the way I treated my sister Mary Ann, who died in 1990. And she was mentally ill. She had paranoid schizophrenia. And she heard voices, and she'd do terrible things when she heard the voices. She stabbed my mother twice. She set fire to the house. She finally herself did die in a fire that she set. And I want to tell you, I regret very, very deeply that it took me to look in her casket and see her face to recognize her dignity. I just leave me alone, Marianne. Don't talk to me. Just go away. I don't want to see you. And when she would pester me, I'd say, just leave me alone. I was mean to my sister. And I saw her in her casket, and they couldn't adjust her face because she had died in a fire and the skin was very fragile. So she had died crying. It was very obvious she was weeping as she died. her face was contorted. It's like when she was weeping. And I saw her dignity, and I wept. And I always regretted that. So I was sinking deep in sin and far from the peaceful shore. I did not see my sister's dignity. Now, the psychotherapist all assured me, well, you needed to keep boundaries. But at some level, yeah, you know, you can sort of do the head, you know, the head work, but the heart work is a little harder. And, you know, some part of me says, you know, I wasn't as good as I should have been to my sister. Even if I did have to keep boundaries, you can't always live in peace with everybody. You have to kind of protect yourself. I got that. But what's going on in your heart? Are there people that maybe you can't live in peace with them, but have you at least set aside the venom, the anger, the bitterness, see, so that you don't have to be mean to them? See? You see what I'm getting at? Now, I don't mean to burden you with all my stories, but I've laid that burden down. It's a funny thing that of all the people my sister visited after she died, it was me. I was saying Mass the day after she died. And I'm not given to hearing voices. But I was saying Mass at the seminary chapel. I was away out of town at the time when she died. And I asked a couple of the seminaries to join me. I was a priest by that time. And I said Mass. And suddenly at the end of the very end of the Mass, I heard my sister say to me in a voice I could just hear just like anybody else's voice, "I'm okay now, Charlie." And she could have never said that here, never. And so I took that to heart, and I told it to my mother, but my mother could never quite receive that, and my mother died of a broken heart 15 years later, and she descended into her alcoholism because of my sister's horrible death. And my mother always regretted, too, that the last interaction she had with my sister was an argument, and my mother never got over that, see? But again, we all have these different assignments from the Lord, but I'm just trying to ask you to think, where are you in a story like this, sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore? It may not be the obvious sins like, you know, drug selling or prostitution or murder or something obviously out there. It could be just these struggles of the heart where you struggle to love people who you should love and you know you should love them. Okay. Moves on. It says here, love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. Only love could transform me. As my mother descended into her alcoholism, I used to get very angry with her, but I will say it, I am glad it did not take my mother's death for me to recognize her dignity. I realized about 2 years before she died the struggle she was really in, and that every day she was sober was a struggle for her. She struggled every day to stay sober. I don't know what that's like. And eventually she lost her battle, but I was able to finally let go and say, "Mom, I know you're in a terrible struggle, and I love you. And whether you drink or don't, I love you." It took Al-Anon, 6 years of Al-Anon, for me to be able to get to that point, because I was very angry with what my mother was doing to her life. But anyway, somewhere the Lord gets in here. You see, love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. Now, I woke up one day and realized I was no longer angry at my mother, and I know I didn't do it. God did it. God did it. Yes, he did. Only God could have done that. Love lifted me. Again, not to burden you with these stories, but just to model for you. You have stories like these to tell, and some of them may be very personal, and you'll never share them, but you know them, and that makes you an authentic witness. That these aren't just slogans. These are real experiences out of which people wrote, and they're real experiences that are human experiences that you also share in. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling, in his blessed presence live, and ever his praises sing. Oh, love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service too to him belongs. Now here comes this beautiful verse. Souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea. Billows his wills obey. He's your savior. He your savior wants to be. Be saved today. Oh, love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All right. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Okay. So again, what I'm trying to show you is to take these songs to heart. They're teaching moments. They're meant to reach us. And there's something beautiful, even though sometimes, like I say, music can get in the way, music can also reach the heart in a way just words alone can't. So you need the words sometimes alone, and you sometimes just need the melody alone. but it reaches you. Spend time with it and let these songs just deeply touch your heart. Okay. Now, this one I put here is, I'm not going to spend time with it, Come Down, O Love Divine. It's the, probably the one example in the old Anglican hymnal that sort of does a little bit of this work. Come down, O love divine, and seek thou the soul of mine, and visit it with thine own ardor glowing. O comforter, draw near, within my heart appear, and kindle it thy holy flame bestowing. Now here comes the key verse, it, namely the Spirit. O let it freely burn, till earthly passions turn to dust and ashes in its heat consuming. And let thy glorious light shine ever on my sight, and clothe me round the while my path illuming. In other words, Lord, take me out of the darkness. And put the flames of my passion to death with the better flame of your love. See, we all struggle with our passions, anger, lust, greed. We struggle with things like drinking and things like that. We struggle with overeating. We struggle. And all we can say is, Lord, put a greater love in my heart, a greater passion for you than for anything or anyone. And that's what that song's getting at. Now we come back to sort of the toe-tapping traditions and some of these things. But again, these songs primarily want to just give you a kind of a vocabulary that if you've done your work, you've really realized what God's done for you and how good he's been to you, even when you didn't deserve it, and even when you didn't know you needed the help. You know, he helped you before you even knew it, that you needed it. And once you've done some of that work, it's time to kind of testify and have a vocabulary of testimony. Now, these songs sort of presume that work in that they're simpler. They're less maybe theological or less poetic. They're more just the, you know, the kind of rhythm of giving testimony. But they do presume the kind of work that we were just doing together, all right? Using me as an example, but I pray somewhere you are connecting some dots in your own life. You know, again, I'll just remind you one more time. Who has hurt you and the Lord healed you? See? Or maybe you're at least on that journey. Maybe just hearing a crazy priest remind you that God says, look, if someone's done something to you and they've hurt you and they've hurt you deeply and you're still struggling with the pain, just remember. God says if they die in repentance, they're going to answer to me for it. Now you give it to me and let me set you free. Or there may have been people that you didn't think you could forgive, and now you have, and so on. So you see what I'm saying? All right. With all that work behind us, which is never actually behind us, but you get the idea. Let's look at a few of these songs that are simpler in their phraseology, but are still encouraging us and kind of giving us, if you will, a model or a vocabulary for witness. So we all have heard this song before. Do you have it there in the playlist? Just hear a few bars of it, Gershon. He has done great things for me. Great things. God, he has done great things for me. The question is, has he? What are they?
He has done great things for me.
Some ideas for you, first of all, to reflect on, but also, well, just ask the question, you know, what great things has he done for you? How has he made a way for you? How's he made a way? What are some of the things he's done? And you might say, I can't remember, preacher. Ask the Holy Spirit to anoint you, because I promise you, God has made a way for you. And he made a way sometimes out of no way. He'll give you the victory. How's he given you victory? What victories can you talk about in your life? Or again, are you going to be a witness for them? See? What is a witness? Someone who says what they have seen and heard. See? It isn't just, I'm going to go out and be a witness because I'm told I have to. Here I go. I'm going to go witness. You know, no. The idea here isn't that, but it's, I'm going to be a witness because I've seen and heard what he's done in my life. I've got a story to tell. I got something to say. Okay? And again, you have to be a little discreet about some of the details. Not everybody's prepared to hear every most personal thing, but you get the idea, right? All right. Now, this next song is very, very precious to George. Most of you know our music director, George, loves what I call the Calvary and Blood songs, right? But George is very convicted that the blood of Christ is just an astonishing gift. It's an astonishing gift. And look at the words of this song. This was not a song I knew before George came. I knew it was in our hymnal, and I probably heard it, but it just never really dawned on me. But this song was one of the first ones he introduced to us, these what I call Calvary and Blood songs. But look at this. One day when I was lost, Jesus died on the cross. I know it was the blood for me. How were you lost? How are you lost? Isn't God good to you? One day when I was lost, and not just lost because I'd sort of gotten, you know, off the trail. I mean, I was lost because I was a sinner. I'd rejected him. I told him, get lost. But I got lost. See? I had rejected him. You see the idea? But he didn't stop. He said, okay, you've rejected me. Go away. Go away. As long as we're on this earth and our decision isn't final, the Lord's going to keep calling and looking and seeking. And that shed blood speaks volumes to his love for us, that he did that when we were still his enemies. We were cursing him, mocking him. There were only four or five people at the foot of the cross giving him any support at all. Others were hiding out, and the rest were just cursing and mocking and ridiculing him. And he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know who they're crucifying. They don't know it's me. St. Paul puts it this way. He says, it's possible to imagine somebody dying for a good man. But Jesus proves his love for us in this, that while we were still his enemies, he died for us and shed his blood. One day when I was lost, Jesus died on the cross. Does that move you? Another old song says, lead me to Calvary, lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary. There's just a part of us that we just got to go to the foot of the cross and kneel there and be astonished at his love for us. Weep for our sins, but weep even more for his love for us. He loves us no matter what we've done. He loves us. So let's listen to this song. I think you've heard it, but it's worth hearing a few bars of it. If you got it there, Gershon? I know it was the blood. To know, remember, in the Bible doesn't just mean intellectually know something. To know in the Bible means to experience something. Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain. You know, a little more than intellectual knowing there, right? Deep, intimate, personal experience of the thing or person known is what the Bible means by I know. I know. That's why it's called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God never wanted us to know evil, to have deep, intimate, personal experience with evil. He wanted us to just trust him, to know and stay away from what was evil and not know it. So, again, you see the vision here. Do you know this? Now, if you do, someone might confront you with some technical question. If there's a God, why is there evil? Why, you know, and you might want to think of the argument from contingency, the argument from design. Let me see, how did Thomas Aquinas put it? You don't need to, you're not always going to remember all that. It's good to know those things, but you're not always going to know all those things or remember them. But what if you could just look that person in the eye and just say with real authority, I know it was the blood. One day when I was lost, Jesus died on the cross. Oh, I know. I know that I know that I know he was the blood. And they may laugh at you in scorn, but it's going to be hard for them to overcome the authority with which you speak if you know what you're talking about. See what I'm saying? See what witness is? It's not just repeating slogans. Witness is, did you see so-and-so do such-and-so to so-and-so? Yes, and I'll swear to it. Witness is that everything that the church has announced and proclaimed for thousands of years now is true, because in the laboratory of my own life, I found it to be true. It's happening in my life. I'm being saved. His blood is cleansing me, changing me. I've been moved to repentance, forgiveness, joy, because of what God has done for me. Now, you could go into the argument for contingency if you want. And there may be a time and a place to do that, but you're not always going to be in a conversation like that with people. All right. Now, a couple more that I don't, because it's getting close to, you know, about 8:20 now, and so we want to start wrapping up. We all know the song God Is, but have you really looked at the words? And again, notice there's a combination here of joy and the experience of who God is, but also that call to repentance. But it's a call that is wrapped up in the joy of just knowing that just God is. Now, he might be on Tuesday if. That doesn't work very well with the meter of the song anyway. God might be on Tuesday if. But his name is Yahweh. His name is I Am. I am that I am. God is not some other thing or a being. He is the very act of to be itself. He is ipsum esse, as we say in the Latin, right? So God is the joy and the strength of my life. Now, is he? Don't just quote slogans now. How is he the joy and the strength of your life? See? Some folks have other folks on that throne, right? My latest boyfriend. My latest girlfriend, my latest whatever, Hollywood hero, my latest, who's on that throne in your life? Is it really God? Sometimes it's your very self. I am the joy and the strength of my life. God is the joy and the strength of my life. He moves all pain, misery, and strife. How has he done that for you? See what I'm trying to show you? These are models to get your testimony together, and also a way of saying, you know, that you have actual events behind them, these words. You're not just saying words that somebody else wrote and you don't really mean. You're saying these words because you do mean them, and there are actually events and realities behind these words in your life. He moves all pain, misery, and strife. He promised to keep me, oh, never to leave me. He's never, ever come short of his word. Now, he hasn't always given me everything I wanted it and the way I wanted it, when I wanted it, but he's given me what I needed. And sometimes I'm glad he didn't give me what I wanted. Because I tell you, it would have not gone well. Now, here comes this kind of call to repentance. You know, I've got to fast and pray and stay in this narrow way. Why? Because he's been so good to me. I don't want to get out of sync with him. I don't want to get lost again. I don't want to fall down a ravine or go through the valley of the shadow of death without him. So I got to fast and pray and stay in this narrow way and keep my life clean each and every day because I want to go with him. When he comes back, oh, I've come too far, and I'll never turn back. See, for God is my all and my all. Is that your testimony? See? Now, again, what would it take for you sometimes when family members are kind of engaged in you in some kind of a, you know, they're ridiculing religion or faith or whatever, just kind of look at them and say, you know, all I've come to know is God is. He's the joy, he's the strength of my life, and he's moved so much pain and misery and strife, and he promised never to leave me. He's all, and they're looking at you like, how am I gonna refute this? You know, they might call you an idiot or whatever, but again, if you can look and say those words with authority, as someone who knows what they're talking about, not just, you know, is quoting something they heard, you're going to be hard. And they may still laugh at you and walk away, but they're going to think again. You've planted a seed. You manifested not just information. You manifested transformation. They're going to say, how did that happen? How do I refute that? Okay. I really love the Lord. Look at what the song says. You don't know what he's done for me. Gave me the victory. Oh, I really love the Lord. You know, you dumb Catholics, you don't really believe all that crazy stuff, do you? Listen, I just want you to know this much. I really love the Lord. You don't know what he's done for me. See, gave me the victory. Yeah, but what about what your Pope recently said? All I know is I really love the Lord. You know? Okay. Now, you're not trying to completely, refuse to answer anything, but you get the idea. Go deeper and stand on that firm foundation before you get into all these esoteric debates about gosh knows what, right? Testify. You're the greatest expert. You're the world's greatest expert in your life and what the Lord's doing in it, all right? Nobody can refute that, right? Okay. Now, is that one on there, We Won't Leave Her Like We Came? This is not a song we know real well. It's not exactly a toe-tapper, but look at this. What is the sacred liturgy for us? Well, it's supposed to be that place where we come and the Lord ministers to us. He reads a word to us. He feeds us with his body and blood. He gives us holy fellowship. We worship and praise him, and we're filled with joy, and we won't leave here like we came, the song says, in Jesus' name. Oh, we came bound, oppressed, afflicted, sick, or lame. For the Spirit of the Lord, though, is still the same, and we won't leave here like we came. That's what church is supposed to do for you. Now, is that how most people go to church? Trying to go like getting a flu shot, you know? Get this over as quickly and painlessly as possible, you know? Oh, no, Father Pope's this. But, again, do you go to church expecting to be changed? See? So just hear a few bars of this, if you could, Gershon. We won't leave her like, oh, it's not there? Okay, I'm sorry. Well, it's in the hymnal, so you take it home and play it, all right? All right. Now, these last two, we played this one a couple of weeks ago, you know, he's done so much for me, I cannot tell it all, I cannot tell it all. Remember that song, I cannot, you were on your feet clapping the first night we... He's done so much. All right. Now, but look again at those words. You see, and this is a language of testimony. But it's only a language of testimony if there's real events standing behind those words for you. That's why we did the first part, right? Let's look at how some of these songs lead us to sort of reflect on places I used to go, I don't go no more. Things I used to do, I don't do no more. In other words, there's been a change in my life. See? And I've laid some burdens down, and God's been good to me, and here's how he's been good to me. And then you can start, you know, again, shortening, just saying, he's done so much for me. All right. And when your loved ones start to hear you singing and talking like that, say, sounds like old auntie's got something going on. Sounds like ma has gotten some religion. You know, rather than, you know, you need to go to church because it's a rule. You know, now, again, I doubt most of you talk like that today, but you know the idea that there's this sort of sense that, you know, you go to church, kind of, you know, you're kind of rushing to get to church, you're angry at people, get out of my way, I'm going to church, you're going to make me late, and you come home and you don't really look any better. In fact, you're maybe even more a little grouchier because, you know, you had a meeting after church and there was some disagreement among the prefect and the whatever, about whatever, and you kind of come home a little more angry and tired, and you know, And this song is trying to get you to model a little differently. Say he's done so much for me, I cannot tell it all. See, he washed my sins away. He walks and talks with me. Oh, I cannot tell it all. Now this last song, we're gonna get on our feet. And we're gonna end with this song. But what I've tried to do with you tonight is the last one there, what he's done for me, we're going to look at that, we're going to listen to that in a moment. But what I tried to do with you tonight is to show you that these songs not only, if you will, teach us information. Like, we remember the first night we looked at how it speaks to us about creation and how we should, and we kind of laid that as a groundwork for God's providence. And we talked a little bit last week about the problem of suffering. And a lot of these songs, using scripture again, speak to us very profoundly about suffering, explaining it, not explaining it away, but setting it forth as part of God's providence, and we'll understand it better by and by. And so we've come to some understanding of suffering, of providence, and sometimes God's providence is very paradoxical. And today we want to now sort of begin to sort of say, all right, given some of these teachings, how is the Lord working in my life? What's he doing? How has he been good to me? How has he blessed me? And where am I still struggling? But I know he still loves me. See? And now if you start to do that, you've got a testimony to give. And so these songs, and I'd say just take them home and just start to internalize some of their words, their teachings, and even just the tapping of the toe to the music. And you say, where do you get these recordings, Father? Well, they're out there. I can tell you where. You know, these actually come, most of the songs I'm playing for you, not all of them, but most of them come from a collection called Lead Me, Guide Me. It's a, now if you buy the whole CD set, it's like a 15 CD set, you know, but you can likely get online and, you know, download particular songs that are, you know, meaningful to you. So maybe what I'll try to do next week is get you a link so that you, if you'd like to download some of these songs. But the point being that mainly let these songs teach you and influence you. Tonight we looked at some formulas, if you pardon the expression, formulas, or if you will, a vocabulary for witness. Let me read to you a conclusion from my article that I wrote online, and then we're going to stand for the final song. The Catholic faithful need to be better prepared for evangelization. This is more than manifesting just joy. It includes the ability to witness to a moral renewal, and it also serves to call others to a soulful repentance. If we know deep down that we've been rescued from sin and from this present evil age, we are so grateful and we are joyful and we have an experience to speak of that will encourage others. See, this beautiful song I just finished with, I gave them a video to finish with. I really love the Lord. You don't know what he's done for me. He gave me the victory. Oh, I really love the Lord. See, now with that in mind, let's stand for this final song. Oh, what he's done for me. You can tap your toe and you can clap if you want.
Yeah.
bless you for your patience tonight. Again, witness, testimony, healing, what's he done for you? And that's at the heart of this training for being good evangelizers, good witnesses to the kingdom. So we thank the Lord for these beautiful songs of Zion that not only give us words, but also model for us, you know, a way to testify and reflect on what God has done. May Almighty God bless you all, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, we're going to meet next week. We'll be in a little bit of a skeleton crew here with some of the, like, our good sound crew here, and Kimberly will also be away, and we're going to need some extra help. But we'll hope to see you. We're going to do some of the, what we call Songs of the Eschaton, the great coming of heaven and the great judgment that comes, but also the great glory that waits for us in heaven. So we'll talk about that next week as a conclusion. Bless you all.